Hello, listeners, and welcome to Northland Views, a program brought to you by Sun Sounds of Northern Arizona. Today, we'll be reading from the Navajo Times and the Navajo Hopi Observer. Ya'ate, I'm your volunteer reader, Mary McGrarty Nishley, happy to have you with us today. Let's begin with this story from the Navajo Times. First appeared online on November 7th, and it appeared in the print edition of Tuesday, November 12th, 2024. Headline, Voters, Communities Need Change, But It's an Uphill Battle. This article is by Nicholas House. Dateline, Window Rock, Arizona. As people left early to vote on Election Day, some left in distraught and didn't vote at the Tohaj Lehi chapter because the general election didn't open until an hour after the Navajo Nation election. Some voters got to the voting site at 6 a.m., but couldn't vote in the general election until 7 a.m. This led to some people not voting. Juana Apachito of Tohaj Lehi chapter was one of the first to vote for the Navajo Nation election at her voting location and is thankful that the election and politically induced stress have ended. The state don't open till 7 a.m., but I wanted to, implying she was one of the voters that didn't get to cast their state ballot. She felt that her community needs change, but it is an uphill battle because many of the same people ran with no contest. I feel like it's going to still be the same, she said. It's kind of the same people running, so I feel that the people going in are no different. In our community, we need new people. We need new words. We need someone who really talks for us and makes moves for us. But with really no one running and no one wanting to step up, it makes it hard on us, Apachito said. Need for change. With well-needed change in the local communities, Melania Perry of the Baca Pruitt chapter re-registered to vote after a long hiatus at the polls. Coming from the Navajo Nation, I needed to see change, Perry said. I wanted to have my own insight on things, and in order for me to help make that change, I needed to be a part of voting this year. She drove from Grants, New Mexico, where she currently resides, to her chapter, as many Diné have long commutes to cast their ballots. Winning the Bakut Pruer chapter secretary-treasurer position, Abram Chapo wanted to see how his community could support him and how he could give back to them. His late grandmother encouraged him to return to the community to help and give back. I went back to school. I went to Phoenix, and I started working for the tribe, and I resigned with the tribe 6 years ago. Now I am working with Navajo Housing Authority, going on 6 years, Chapo said. With all my previous experience with the tribe and NHA, Navajo Housing Authority, I thought about housing development. We don't have a housing development, Baca Pruitt, within our community, and that's something I want to work on. I want to get some housing development in our area. Voting for trusted candidates. Nadine Martinez of Thoreau Chapter voted for people she trusts and hopes they'll do well for the community. She said people should work for and prioritize the Diné veterans and the elders. As winter approaches, she urges people to get chapter officials on board to help their community, adding that roadways need to be fixed. Running no contest for the Thoreau chapter president, Anita Benali is running for her third term in the community as a chapter official. She has lived in the community for more than 40 years, and this will be her second term as a chapter president. With a lot we need to do in the community, Benali gave insight that there's unfinished projects that have sat idle for 8 years and need completion. Housing, water lines, and power lines are needed as well. We have a lot of new families that have moved into the community and would like to have a stable home and work opportunities in our community, Benali said. She also has a goal of making Thoreau a certified chapter. Her other plans are applying for revenue and seeking economic development opportunities. The Thoreau chapter also has prospects for an economic development location near Interstate 40 near Thoreau, New Mexico. Commuting from Albuquerque to Ianbito, New Mexico to vote, Melvin Carvisso said he voted for the future, young students, and kept him and the elders in mind while casting his ballot on November 5th. I want to see better for ourselves, for my people, and the nation itself. Without good leadership, that won't be possible, Carvisso said. I just hope the best candidate wins. And for our local chapters, I came home from Albuquerque to vote today for my Navajo Nation. And I just wish each candidate that's running today the best they can do for the community that they're running for. They say they're going to do this and that, and I want to see that in them. We, as a Navajo Nation, we should be growing and prospering. Another story related to the election from the Navajo Times of Tuesday, November 12th. This first appeared online on November 7th and is by Donovan Quintero, a special to the Navajo Times. Headline, Rides for Democracy. Bia family coordinates voter transport efforts in Kayenta. Dateline, Kayenta, Arizona. Revolving around the logistics of transporting voters to polling sites in northeast Arizona, two people rose to the occasion of defining the meaning of K'e on Election Day. Joseph and Catherine Bia returned from transporting a voter home on Tuesday evening. They seemed relaxed and satisfied with the volunteer work they took on as they went over the list of people they and other drivers helped. Overall, they said about 40 people needed rides, including additional transportation needs from places like Crown Point, Shiprock, and Ganado. Their willingness to step up for voters in need transformed what could have been an overwhelming logistical challenge into a testament to the power of community engagement. Joseph explained the process of how they've been transporting and coordinating with other drivers to pick up individuals from their homes to vote. This is the whole northeast corner of Arizona, Northeast Arizona Democrat. And Catherine is directing people where to call after they call for a ride. We direct them to another driver within their voting area, like people from Chilchinbito or Denahotso or Oljato, explained Joseph, as his wife was on the phone with a voter as she instructed them who would be picking them up. We just tell them there's another driver over there, and we tell them to call this number. And we have the list of numbers of drivers all over in this area. Teaming up with other volunteers from surrounding areas, including Tuba City, they created an informal network that extended far beyond Kayenta. The couple orchestrated rides for voters traveling from various distant communities, showcasing the deep commitment to civic duty that runs through the veins of the Navajo Nation. Catherine added voters texted her as asking for a ride from as far away as Shiprock and Crown Point, which are at least 2 to no more than 3 hours' drive from Kayenta. Some of them text us from different places, the couple said. We made several runs all over the place. We're exhausted. However, the day was not without its challenges. An alleged bomb threat at the Kayenta Business Center briefly interrupted operations and led to a temporary shutdown, causing concern among voters and volunteers alike. Law enforcement officials closed off the site and conducted a sweep of the facility. After nearly an hour, according to Lawson Benali, the spokesperson for the Kayenta Township, police determined there was no threat and reopened the area so that voting could continue. The Bias, undeterred by the unexpected adversity, quickly adapted to the circumstances and continued working tirelessly to ensure those who needed transportation could still reach the polls without hesitation. Through their selfless actions, the Bia family not only orchestrated access to the polls, but also inspired others to contribute in whatever way they could. Seeing so many people come together motivated us to keep going, Joseph added. It's about supporting each other. As the day began concluding, Joseph and Catherine sat in the parking lot quietly assessing the importance of the work they accomplished. Each ride was a crucial link in the chain of democracy, reminding voters that their participation mattered. At a time when civic engagement is often challenged by barriers, the efforts of Joseph and Catherine Bia stand as a beacon of hope and resilience. Now, some articles from the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, November 6th. The lead story also relates to the election. Headline, Grassroots Drive, Indigenous Vote. Indivisible Tohono works to civically engage the Tohono O'odham people by sharing information about policies and candidates that will directly impact their community. This is by Shandine Silversmith and first appeared in the Arizona Mirror. For Elaine Gregg, voting on the Tohono O'odham Nation evokes memories of her grandmother. She remembers sitting at the long wooden table in her family's kitchen and spending time with her grandmother to review her ballot. It was so hard for her to understand what she was reading, Gregg said, so she'd break it down for her grandmother by reading through the ballot to help her grandmother better understand it. Gregg always thinks about the time she spent helping her grandmother vote as she works to civically engage her community on the Tohono O'odham Nation. She helps with voter registration, get out the vote events, and educational presentations about the election. Often, national-led get out the vote events and rallies are geared toward urban areas or work with tribal governments, hoping to connect with Native voters and tribal nations. But voters who live in rural parts of their tribal nations are often forgotten by these efforts. Connecting with those voters is left up to grassroots organizations who are on the ground in Indigenous communities, organizations like Indivisible Tohono. Indivisible Tohono, or IT, founded in 2017, works to civically engage the Tohono O'odham people by sharing information and resources about policies and candidates that will directly impact their communities. Arizona is a crucial state this election, and Indigenous people make up 6% of its overall population. About 300,000 of the state's voting age residents are natives. Even though a large number of Indigenous people now live in urban areas, there is still a high population of Indigenous people who live on their tribal nations, making them an important voter demographic. Historically, Indigenous communities have voted for Democratic candidates, and in the 2020 election, the voting precinct maps provide a visualization of how Arizona's 22 tribal nations voted. A majority of those precincts located on tribal land leaned blue in that election. Get out the vote efforts geared toward natives primarily come from voting groups that work directly within these communities or tribal governments. Indivisible Tohono co-founder April Ignacio said in years they've been operating within the Tohono O'odham Nation, they have never come across outside voting organizations, national or regional, doing the same work, and she believes that's because engaging with Native voters is a year-round effort. That's why other organizations won't work in tribal communities, she added, because it takes a lot of time and investment to build actual relationships with those communities, which is why it's so much harder for the Native vote to be collected. The Tohono O'odham Nation is located in south-central Arizona. It is the state's second-largest reservation, equivalent to Connecticut size. The tribe has some of the most isolated communities in Arizona. Most communities do not have access to basic amenities such as large chain grocery stores, and there are only 2 post offices and 4 gas stations on the entire Tohono O'odham Reservation. Ignacio said that indivisible Tohono efforts are successful because they continuously hold themselves accountable. Indivisible Tohono is unique in that we really hone in on how all of the efforts can impact us, Ignacio said. It's not enough that we're doing voter registration. She said that Indivisible Tohono works to teach about the process of civic engagement, provide communities and opportunities for it, and then provide related educational opportunities. We do a lot of that legwork on their behalf so that they can make the best decisions and feel confident when they go to the ballot box, Ignacio said, adding that it is up to voters if they choose to accept the information or go off looking for more, which is the point. Now, another article about new activities. This in a project on Monument Valley, also from page one of the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, November 6th. Headline, Yehe Ha'ohni Dor breaks ground on traditional Hogan project at Monument Valley. Dateline, Tuba City, Arizona. Yehe Ha'ohni Dor, a Utah-based nonprofit organization led by Navajo women, has recently broken ground on a new traditional Hogan in Monument Valley. The project is funded by a $12,200 grant from the Navajo Transitional Energy Company, NTEC, which was awarded in the winter of 2023. The Hogan will serve as a central gathering place for the Monument Valley community, where people can come together for ceremonies, cultural events, educational workshops, and other activities. By constructing the Hogan, Yehe Ha'ohni Dor aims to revitalize traditional Navajo practices and strengthen community bonds. The project is being carried out through collaborative workshops involving community members at all process stages. The approach ensures authenticity and fosters a sense of ownership among participants. The juniper logs used for construction are being harvested from the highlands of the Navajo Nation using traditional methods. Samantha Holliday, project manager for the Tse B'Nitza Community Hogan Project and director of the Tse B'Nitza Garay Community Center, expressed gratitude for NTEC's support. We are very grateful for the grant awarded by the Navajo Transitional Energy Company under the Community Benefit Fund, she said. This project aims to bring volunteers and center staff together in the planning, construction, and ongoing use of a community hogan to support the cultural needs of the Monument Valley community. The project is rooted in the community's history. It is essential in maintaining the continuing cultural identity of the Navajo people. I am pleased to see so many people interested and involved in the creation of the community Hogan. The Tse B'Nitzitzgai Community Hogan Project is committed to sustainability throughout the construction process and future use. The juniper logs used for the Hogan's foundation and legs are harvested from the highlands of the Navajo Nation using traditional methods. Under the guidance of official Benedict Daniels, the workshop participants offered participants hands-on training in traditional Hogan construction. Under Daniels' guidance, participants learned how to peel the bark from the logs using tools such as axes, shave knives, and hatchets. The bark from the harvested juniper logs will be used as insulation for the Hogan, demonstrating the project's commitment to sustainability and resourcefulness. As a Navajo-owned company, we are proud to be part of the Yehe Ha'ohni Dor Traditional Hogan Project. NTEC is committed to the economic, social, physical, and cultural well-being of the Navajo people, said Andy Hawkins, Senior Project Manager, Community Relations with NTEC. We look forward to the completion of the Hogan and its use as a place of worship and community. Another positive development on the Navajo Nation, This from page 3 of the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, November 6th, headline, Chilchinbeto Chapter Joins Local Government Investment Pool. Special to the Navajo Hopi Observer, dateline, Phoenix. The Chilchinbeto Chapter has become the first chapter from the Navajo Nation to invest in Arizona's Local Government Investment Pool, LGIP, Arizona Treasurer Kimberly Yee announced. The decision marks a significant milestone for both the Arizona Treasury and the Navajo Nation. Established 44 years ago, the LGIP offers local governments an opportunity to grow their assets through strategic investments. This is a historic milestone for the Arizona Treasury and the Chilchinbeto chapter of the Navajo Nation, said Treasurer Yee. From the start of my administration, my goal has been to reach every corner of our great state, to work with local leaders and expand the local government investment pool of participants. When you grow the pool, you grow the funds. Since assuming office in 2019, Treasurer Yee has increased LGIP's local government participation by over 112%, with assets under management growing by more than $3.6 billion to exceed $7 billion. The expanded pool has allowed for record earnings to be distributed back to participating cities, towns, and tribal governments, including more than $335.9 million in fiscal year 2024. The growth of the local government investment project has been extraordinary, Yee added. This creates more funds for communities across Arizona based on investments alone and allows local taxpayers to avoid higher taxes to meet government funding obligations. With today's announcements, I am confident that this will be the beginning of a long-lasting partnership with the Navajo Nation and its local chapters. Let us hope that occurs. For additional details about the Arizona Local Government Investment Pool, visit this web address, aztreasury.gov/local-government-investment-pool. Some good news about other achievements. These in the rodeo ring from Community News of the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, November 6th. Headline, Locals Take Titles at Indian National Finals Rodeo, special to the Navajo Hopi Observer. Dateline, Las Vegas, Nevada. Seven prestigious Indian National Finals Rodeo World titles are coming home to the Navajo Nation after the Las Vegas event held October 22nd through 24th. Winners included Senior Team Roping Header, Leonard Williams from Tulani Lake, Senior Team Roping Healer, Victor Begay from Ceiba del Cai, Arizona, Ladies Breakaway Roping, Bailey Bates from Mexican Springs, New Mexico. Team Roping Header, Eric Rogers from Round Rock, Arizona. Team Roping Healer, Aaron Sinogeni from Tuba City, Arizona. Women's All Round, Jareth Curley from Beshbeto, Arizona. Miss Indian Rodeo, Autumn Sells from Rough Rock, Arizona. To each of these champions and every Navajo contestant who represented us with honor at this year's Indian National Finals Rodeo, Navajo Nation Vice President Jasmine Blackwater Nygren said, "Your dedication lights the way for the next generation of Navajo cowboys and cowgirls. In the shadow of every qualification and every ride, every win lies a story of hard work, the support of family, and the strength of our Navajo people." News of a federal initiative to increase electronic literacy. Headline, FCC to launch tribal library e-rate advocacy program. Dateline Washington, D.C., the Federal Communications Commission announced the creation of the Tribal Library E-Rate Advocacy Program on October 28th. This will build on the Commission's Tribal Libraries Pilot Program. Through this new permanent program, interested tribal libraries will have the opportunity to sign up throughout the year for one-on-one assistance to start learning about and working on the E-Rate application process. Tribal libraries are now able to sign up for the Tribal Library E-Rate Advocacy Program online. Libraries are important for internet access, which is especially true and important on tribal lands, where access can be very limited and residents lack the tools needed at home to connect. FCC Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel said, "We want to do everything possible to make sure tribal communities have full access to the digital age, and this advocacy program will provide direct support to these groups as they navigate the E-Rate application process." The Schools and Libraries Universal Support Program, commonly known as the E-Rate program, helps schools and libraries obtain affordable broadband, ever more important. The FCC modified the rules in January 2022 to clarify that tribal libraries are also eligible for support through the E-Rate program. In July 2023, the FCC adopted additional rules that expanded eligibility to tribal colleges and universities and their libraries that can also act as public libraries in their communities. A tribal college or university library is eligible to supply for E-Rate support if it serves as a public library by having dedicated library staff, regular hours known to the community, and a collection for public use. An exciting development, and we wish them success in continuing important efforts to increase broadband access. That's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for listening, listeners. Ahyehye. Join us next week for Northland Views when we once again read from the Navajo Times and the Navajo Hopi Observer. Till then, I'm your volunteer reader, Mary McGrory. Happy to be with you for now. Hagone.